Chapter 4. The DG Meeting. They'd been waiting for over 20 minutes when the intercom beeped. Gareth, the Director General's secretary, said, "She's ready for you now, gentlemen." They stood as the young man knocked and opened the door. "Mr. Stirling and Mr. Castle, ma'am." "Thank you, Gareth. Come in, gentlemen." As the brothers entered, the elegant woman behind the desk stood and walked towards them. Offering her hand, she said, "Good to see you again, Jack. How is your lovely family?" "Nice to see you too, ma'am, and yes, they're all well." No handshake was given to Stirling. Instead, she touched him lightly on the shoulder. "Let's have a seat, Matthew." "Thank you, ma'am." Jack placed Charlie's folder on the table between them. "Thank you for seeing me at such short notice, ma'am."
"Not at all. Matthew tells me you have something important."
She leaned forward and tapped the leather folder.
"It's all in here, I take it."
"That's correct. You need to go through this urgently, ma'am." The woman smiled.
"Why not give me a brief overview first, Jack?"
30 minutes later, the DG stood and went to her desk and clicked the intercom.
"Gareth?"
The metallic voice came back.
"Yes, ma'am."
"Tea for three, please." She turned from the desk and looked out the window. "This is extremely sensitive, and to be honest, somewhat circumstantial." Jack stood.
"With respect, ma'am, it's all here in the folder. Names, dates, the deaths, the reports."
The DG raised her hand.
"Sit down, please, Jack, and listen for a second."
Matthew looked at his brother and nodded to the couch. The knock on the door eased the slight tension in the room.
"Come."
After the secretary left the room, Matthew reached for the tea tray.
"I'll be mother."
The director took her seat in the big leather chair.
"What we have here, gentlemen, is a bundle of documents that do no more than report on an incident in Afghanistan and a series of murders. Yes, it does implicate President-elect Mason, but it is indeed all circumstantial. We do not have any real proof."
"Charlie Webster was there, ma'am. He knew what happened." The woman put down her teacup, a slightly exasperated look on her face.
"I'm sure he did, Jack, but unfortunately, Mr. Webster is no longer with us."
"So we're going to do nothing?"
"I never said that. We have a couple of options. One, we hand this over to our cousins in the American Embassy and let them pass it on to the FBI. Two, we go directly to the FBI. Three, we do nothing, as it is an American issue and nothing to do with the British security services."
Jack stood again, clearly annoyed at the way the conversation was going.
"I'm afraid, and again with respect, I can't sit back and do nothing, ma'am."
The woman smiled. "I wouldn't expect you to, Jack."
"Ma'am?"
"A man like you would want to go and get the proof, and prove that all this really is the work of Alexander Mason, wouldn't he?"
"Yes, I would."
"Of course you would. It's just a pity I can't order you to get involved on behalf of the British government."
Jack smiled at the director. His eyes narrowed. "But there is nothing to stop me investigating this myself."
"Oh, I couldn't possibly comment on that, Jack.
But I'm sure you'll make the right decision on what to do with this dossier and where to go to find some solid evidence."
The DG stood up.
"Now, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I have to be in Downing Street in an hour."
Jack smiled and offered his hand.
"Thank you, ma'am."
"Not at all, Jack. Matthew, everything else under control?"
"Yes, ma'am, all under control."
"Well done. Good afternoon, gentlemen."
As they were leaving the room, the woman said,
"Good luck with your endeavours, Mr. Castle.
And be careful."
It was late afternoon when Jack left Vauxhall Cross. The meeting with the Director General had not gone as Jack hoped, but it did give him the leeway to undertake inquiries himself.
He and Matthew had discussed a broad plan, which would allow Jack to operate under his own volition. Matthew would provide support and assistance when required, albeit covertly. It was understood, in the event of anything compromising Jack's mission, the British government would deny all knowledge of his actions. The security of Charlie Webster's dossier was a concern, so all the documents had been scanned and saved digitally onto Jack's smartphone. The original folder was now safely locked away in Matthew's office safe. The train journey from central London to Berkshire took just over 50 minutes and gave Jack the opportunity to go over the plan again. By the time he arrived at East Monkton Station, he was confident he could discover the truth about the Bagram heist and the General's involvement. He left the train and nodded to the platform attendant as he passed through the gate and out to the small car park. The Jaguar lights blinked as he unlocked the car. Inside, he sat for several seconds thinking about the conversation with Charlie. What was it he said about the flight that went to Russia? Jack pressed the start button, and the powerful engine gurgled into life. 10 minutes later, he pulled up in front of his house. After parking the car, he stood for several seconds and looked up at the beautiful house and the home he and Nicole had made for themselves. Was he willing to risk it all for something that really did not concern him? Of course he was.